Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. A bad seed, a broken eight, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad adders, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. So finally, you get a chance to meet Pharrell's financial advisor. It's very important that everybody gets a taste of his life with me and the pain in the ass that I have become in his life. For the last 35 years, I have exposed him to all kinds of porous behavior, and he's had to advise me through thick and thin to somehow get me to this point without being in federal prison in Leavenworth. I would have ended up doing life with some of the things that I've done that have upset him very much so. He gets very mad at me, constantly yelling at me, constantly telling me about misappropriation of Pharrell funds and porous behavior. Say hello to Pharrell's financial advisor. How are you today, sir?
Very good, sir.
He will not give his name because he wants nothing to do with me. Is this accurate?
Correct.
You have been with me for 35 years, and you are claiming that since the day you met me through various friends of mine, you also do not like them.
That is correct.
So you have advised me over the years to stay away from the people that I have introduced you to because you believe they are bad influences in my life.
Many, many times.
Some of the people that you know through me are people that you want nothing to do with. You will not be seen with them. You will not talk to them. You will not do anything with them.
Absolutely.
Some of them you've seen all end up basically in hell. They've lost their families, their wives, their children don't talk to them. And you have told me on a number of occasions to avoid them.
That's it.
You believe that there is a better way, a more honest, righteous way for me to save for a retirement and a future with 34C.
That's what we're trying to do.
You love my wife and children and my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law. You love everyone, but you have a problem with me because you think I am a bad seed.
Pretty much so.
You live in a beautiful area outside of Charlotte on a farm. You have made many riches. You have all kinds of animals. You create animal food. You create eggs. You create, I think, beef. You create steer beef. You chase chickens. You have goats. You have steer. You have horses. You have tractors. You have combines. Who in their right mind is a financial advisor that's made millions would turn to a farm to hide all of his money under the ground? You are the man that did that.
That's correct.
You also love fishing. You are a guy that stands in rivers all the way up to your onions, fly fishing for giant halibut and salmon and trout and other forms of barracuda.
Pretty much so.
You love deep sea fishing. You love going on giant yachts out into the ocean where all of the people on the boat are hurling over the edge as you are not seasick. You are catching giant marlin and taking pictures and putting those pictures on your wall. And when you catch a giant marlin, you stuff it and put it on your wall like a president. I have been to a place in the islands down in the Keys where they have a giant fishing competition with presidents. All kinds of presidents have been there from the Bushes on down, and they all go deep sea fishing, and when they catch giant marlin, they take them home and stuff them. You like to stuff giant fish.
I do.
So you believe that standing in a river ice cold in Yellowstone National Park is more fun than dealing with Pharrell's many dramas and problems fiscally in the last 35 years.
It definitely helps me put up with you.
You like to go up into the mountains and hide from me at all costs. You have told me on a number of occasions, do not call my phone ever.
No cell coverage.
You believe that I should be in jail and that when I call you, I am avoiding the grid. The grid is don't call me when I'm at work because you are a bad person and you will get me involved in your bad tactics. And thus, stay off of my grid. You have told me many times, stay off of my lawn.
Pretty much.
And I'm not allowed to go to the farm because you think that I'll be a bad influence on your children.
And the animals.
And the animals. You do not like me anywhere near the state of North Carolina.
North Kakalaki, that's correct.
You used to go to Ohio State. This is when I knew of you. I knew that you were a powerful and genius financial advisor that went to Ohio State. And the only reason that I would even deal with you because I went to Indiana is that Bob Knight played basketball at Ohio State. Other than that, I hate the Buckeyes. I hate you. I hate their football team. I hate their football coach. I hate their old football coaches. The only coach I'm willing to accept is Woody Hayes because he had a temper like Bob Knight.
And he punched a kid.
And who didn't? Bob Knight choked a kid. Why would I worry about punching a kid when I could choke a kid? You get more media coverage that way. When you went to Ohio State, you got great grades. When I went to Ohio State, I vomited in the towers after I drank too many beers. As you know, the towers are a great place for the students to live in the dormitory in the towers. And I went there and drank 500 beers and vomited off of a ledge.
We used to call it Immoral Tower.
Immoral Tower. When you play Indiana now in every game, football or basketball, you send me horrible messages on my phone of distaste and ill repute. You wish ill will on me and my family and my team. And you hate me when they play Indiana. And you say nasty things to me.
A little bit, but we do prefer to hate Michigan more.
Hate Michigan more, but why hate Michigan when you own them as much as you do? It is obvious that Michigan cannot beat Ohio State in football. They never beat them. Every time they play, it's a bet I make and I win all kinds of money. Then I hide it from you.
16 out of the last 18.
Let's talk a little bit about my financial problems. When I lived in Los Angeles, I made a lot of money. Would you agree with that?
That's correct.
And you are under the impression that in those 15 years of living out west, that I floundered my money is a word you like to throw at me. You're constantly saying that I floundered all of my talents and money. I wasted my life by doing bad things.
You did.
Can we review some of the bad things that you don't like? You don't like my rock and roll lifestyle.
Pretty much, yeah.
You don't like my rock and roll friends because they are bad influences and you know that I go on five-day benders with them and blow lots of money doing bad things.
I do like Slash, though.
You do like Slash, but you know that when I was with Slash, I slashed all of my savings because I would end up spending all of the money on bad things like drugs.
I do know that.
You think that I should have gone to rehab.
You still should.
Still should. I haven't done it in 20 years, but you still want me to go to rehab because you feel that I missed out on rehab in the 80s.
Probably still got enough left in the system.
You believe that I should have gone to a mental hospital because of my behavior. So you're saying that when I was on MTV for 5 years, the entire time I was there handing out things like Days with Andy Dick and Causing Trouble and rock stars and celebrities like Carmen Electra and Jenny McCarthy and Pamela Anderson, that all of that was unhealthy for my life.
Absolutely.
And you thought that I was a prevert. My dog thinks I was a prevert. You call me a prevert on many occasions.
Yep. Boston thinks so too.
You believe that I spent all of my money when I lived in Los Angeles and blew it all. I did not save anything. You were mad at me when I bought a second house.
Yep, I advised against that.
You told me not to buy the second house because you said I could barely afford the first house.
That's correct.
You did not like the fact that I had three guys live in my one house. All three of them were wonderful with flowers and kept better care of the house than I did. But you thought I was wasting money. And then I bought a $1 million house overlooking the ocean. But you didn't seem to complain when you came to the $1 million house and hung out and went to the beach and looked at girls in bikinis. You didn't have a problem hanging out at my big house on the beach. But you told me I couldn't afford it.
Yep, I did.
And you love my wife and family but hate me. You are still trying to ruin my life.
Trying to help you.
I lived out there for a long time, and what happened? I had to move to New York because I blew all my money.
Yep, you did.
But I had fun, and I had hot chicks all over me, and I never stopped partying. And you said that that was a bad thing, and that I wasted 15 years of my life when I could have been saving all kinds of money, and that I could have retired at 55 and been filthy rich.
Yep, can't live with a hot chick when you're 65.
So now I have started over in the year 2000, and in the last 20 years, have I done a decent job of A, getting my life in order?
Yep.
Have I started saving money?
Yep.
Have I got multiple savings, IRAs, annuity, life insurance policies, bank accounts, and everything else? I have completely changed because of you.
You do.
You think that I will make it to the finish line. You have said that most people would have an 85-year life expectancy. You believe I will be dead long before that because of my life choices. You have said that my drinking, boozing, and drugging will cost me dearly in the end, and I should be dead soon, within 10 years. Just admit it.
I did.
But if I were to live to be 85 or 90, you believe that I will have enough money to live comfortably numb forever like Pink Floyd?
As long as there's no more benders.
Do you think that I'll be able to put my kids through college without having to take out student loans, which is key?
Community college.
Community college. No private institutions like Miami where my son could become a cocaine dealer.
Nope.
Not a good idea. Will my wife, 34C, be taken care of?
Yep.
Do I have great life insurance policies?
Maybe.
Are my financials and my stocks and bonds and all of the things that I'm doing headed in the right direction?
They are.
Have I brought you multiple clients over the years? And you said that all of them were better persons than me. People of interest. Persons.
A few people.
You believe that everyone I've turned you into, your firm, that they're all better off fiscally than me because they're more responsible than me and I am nothing but a heathen.
Yep.
You believe that I should go to church more and get my life in order and pray to God so that I don't do what I used to do, which is blow money and live like a rock star and go all over the world on yachts and planes and party like I'm Mick Jagger and Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. Do you like that I'm doing television now?
Not really.
Why not? I'm making twice the money.
You're too ugly for television.
You think I waste money betting on sports?
Yes.
How do you like my crib?
Pretty nice.
Not bad for a guy that blew all his money.
Well, we can thank a wife for that.
We can thank you for that. You've turned my life around and you've got me going in the right direction. Listen, Mr. Financial Advisor from Charlotte, I love you. Thank you for keeping me out of federal prison. Thank you for keeping me on the right track and paying my taxes and saving my money and having all of my funds and IRAs and annuities and all of my investments. I couldn't have done it without you. God bless you, Mr. Financial Advisor from Charlotte.
Thanks, and just remember this conversation never happened.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, so I'm chilling with Rigatoni. You know him from Coast to Coast and In Game Live. He's the on-site producer extraordinaire from the Meadowlands FanDuel Sportsbook when we do the TV shows every day. How you doing, Rigatoni?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me, Scott. I appreciate it.
All right, now, I want to talk about the wussy bets that you make. So, let's start with you bet on, how many baseball games did you bet on today?
10. Well, 7 money line plays, and then I had 3 over-under, so 10 in total.
So 10 total bets. Now, the one thing that I find interesting is you were questioning why did the game stop in 5 innings between the Yankees and Nationals. Is that who was playing?
Yes, and I was just curious because I saw the score was 8-2 in the fifth. The next thing I looked, and it was already over. So I guess it was due to rain. I checked it out, but I thought maybe it was spring training. The game wasn't close. They might end it early. They don't play extra innings, so I wasn't too sure. I had to check that out, but I just hope I get my money, and I hope I win my bet.
We don't care about feelings. We don't care about anything. We don't care if a player is booed or if they're beaned or if they cheat or if they steal signs or if they're divorced or if their family loves them. We only care about who covers.
I guess you could say that. I definitely care about the Yankees, their players, their coaches, and their feelings, but I don't care about the Astros or those cheaters or stealing signs. I'm definitely not about that. That's for sure.
So what you're saying to me is that you only care about the well-being and the future of Yankee players and coaches and managers.
I wouldn't say only, but definitely more than any other team, but not only.
So if you wanted someone to get the flu as a gift because you don't like them and you were able to transfer the flu bug to their home, it would be highly unlikely that it would be a Yankee, but it would be more like, let's say, the Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely dislike the Red Sox, one of the best rivalries in sports, the Yankees and the Red Sox, but if I had to pick one person, it'd be Jose Altuve, because the things that he did, his batting average, his home runs, everyone was, oh, he's so good, this and that, but he's just a fraud, he's a fake, and if I could give him the flu, I'd love to give him the flu for the whole entire season.
Do you believe that he could be, in all actuality, the devil?
I think that's definitely a possibility. After watching him hit that home run off Aroldis Chapman in extra innings, send the Astros to the World Series, that hurt me. I still remember that second just like it was yesterday, and he didn't let anyone take off his shirt because, in my opinion, I think there was a buzzer underneath.
So, do you find it hard to do the show with a giant hair on the microphone cover?
I try to avoid it as much as possible, but it was bothering me just a little bit.
All right, so what I want to get into now is the dollar amounts that you bet. And I literally mean the dollar amounts that you bet. So what you're telling me is that today you finally did the big reveal and you admitted to me that you place massive amounts of bets every day, but all of them at this point in your life are for $1.
No, not all $1. Most of them at this point are 5 or 10, but all my spring training bets are just $1. So that part's true. I just don't know much about it. You know, you got to see who's going to play. You don't know if they're going to keep the veterans in for a longer period of time or start the prospects, and it's tough to predict, but I just like having action. So, yes, $1 per game on the spring training games today. That's for sure.
So, listen, they never play everyone on the team during spring training games. The games are awful. The games suck. They play all of the guys that are going to the minor leagues for the rest of their year. They have no chance of making the team. You are betting on hacks. Guys that have been drafted or guys that have been signed that will never make the big league team. You're betting on losers, but at least you're proud enough to admit that you're only betting a dollar.
Hey, I got to be honest when I can, that's for sure. But just putting it out there, the Yankees did have mostly, I would say, like 7 out of the 9 are going to be starters on opening day that they started today. And Gleyber Torres did have a 2-run double in the 5th inning. So he started and he was playing 5 innings. That's almost half the game. So I guess some teams are different, of course. But with the Yankees, they won. They played their best guys or their veteran guys for the most part. But you're right. In other games I've seen, they got taken out after an inning or two. After an at-bat, they're done. Their day's over. So it's tough to predict, or it's tough to bet on something you don't really have too much control over, you don't know too much about.
What about Garrett Cole pitched one inning? How do you bet on when they pitch one inning and then they go through five pitchers?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They don't tell you the five pitchers they're going to go to next after Cole pitches his one inning. So you got to wait and see what happens. But in that game when Cole did pitch, Yankees fan, a bit of a homer pick. I took the Yankees at minus 180. It's a little bit better than minus 200 that I went up to before the game started. But still, if the Pirates are at plus 174, I would take the Pirates at plus 174 with that value as compared to the Yankees minus 200. The game did end in a tie, 3-3, so I just got my dollar bill back. You know, I'll put that dollar bill on another game, but you're completely correct. I agree with that.
So if you bet 10 games at a dollar every day, on average, how much money? How much money are you actually winning every day on average? Are you winning enough to have dinner?
No, maybe I'll win enough to have dinner after 2 or 3 weeks. But right now, I think it's like a $2 profit each day. I think one day I lost a dollar, but then one day I won three, another day I won two. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Today's another day. Looking forward to betting a dollar on each game again tomorrow.
You're telling me that you bet 10 games and you walked out with $2?
That's correct. I mean, that's $2 that I made, though. It's $2 more than I had before. I can get a Snickers bar, a Reese's, a Butterfinger, you know. That adds up from time to time.
Have you ever won enough to actually buy a beer at this sports book? How much are the beers?
The beer's probably $9, $10 just about here. A little bit cheaper than what you would pay inside a MetLife Stadium at a Jets game. That's $15, $16, a bit more ridiculous. But with college basketball, college football, NFL, I had $15, $20 bets, so, you know, I won a couple here and there. Had a couple beers for sure, but not too many. I got to work my way up.
So you're unable to buy a beer at this point off of your baseball winnings, but if you bet on college basketball, you have a chance to have a grilled cheese sandwich and a beer and perhaps a Twix bar.
Perhaps. That doesn't sound too bad to me. I would be very happy with the grilled cheese Twix bar. I can't say no to something like that. So I'm hoping these dollar bets turn into something like that soon, but a man can only dream.
How do you feel about the fact that every week I send you to buy donuts and you have been known to go to upwards of 3 donut stores to find adequate donuts because in the afternoon and evening, all of the donut makers are gone for the day, and all the donuts are gone for the day, and no one is smart enough to make fresh donuts all day. The guy that would make the fresh donuts all day would be a rich man if he made donuts all day.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's a great point. But, I mean, the day that I did recently go to Dunkin' Donuts, I was driving all over the place. I was at Walmart, Guitar Center, getting all these different things we needed for Vegas. But the last stop on my list was Dunkin' Donuts. I was getting coffee for Cardano, a coffee for Pharrell, and also a dozen donuts for Pharrell. I know the ones he likes. He likes the Krellers, no chocolate, chocolates for girls. Like the vanilla with sprinkles or strawberry frosted with sprinkles. First one I went to, they had none of that. None of what you wanted. So I wasn't going to bring you back a dozen of that. So put it in my phone just to see where the next one is. Oh, 2 miles away, I'll drive there. Once again, they had none of it, barely any donuts whatsoever. So I said, I'm going to go to the place that I went last time, pretty close to the Meadowlands. The third time was the charm. They had everyone you wanted. Hopefully your coffee was as hot as you would like it to be. And, I mean, the donuts were delicious. I got to say thank you for letting me have one.
So you're telling me that the guy right over here, the closest Dunkin' Donuts, was the one that had them in the end?
Yes, but it wasn't closest to where I was because of where I was coming from. I think it was like Route 17, but what I put into my phone and Apple Maps, it told me to go to this one, but I should have went to the one that I went to in the first place. I just didn't know how to get there exactly.
Do you feel that at some point you're feeling lucky enough that you're going to start making money betting and that even the possibility of Pharrell buying you a respectable meal in the main dining room, not the one with the mice, but the main dining room where the mice are not welcome, and they actually have steaks and big burgers and really good fries, Do you think that you'll ever get lucky enough to have Pharrell buy you a dinner based on the fact that you're not eating well and not living well based on making dollar bets? Is it about time that you step up your game and get a hangout with the big leaguers like Pharrell and get a gigantic steak or burger over in the main dining room?
Well, I mean, I completely understand. That's definitely a lot to ask from you, but I mean, maybe give me a year or two. I could work my way up to that point, but I don't see that happening anytime soon. I just don't deserve it just yet. I need to get better with my bets. I need to find the right Dunkin' Donuts the first time and not the third time, but you never know. That would be something that would be unexpected, to say the least.
So you have been running the show now for me for almost a month, and it's pretty clear that I'm the coolest dude here. That didn't take very long, did it?
No, it didn't take very long at all. I think I actually knew that before you started, when we met previously, like 3 months ago, when you were here talking to Lou and Mike, but it was pretty much instantaneous. Once you got here, everyone knew you're just the baddest guy around, the coolest guy around.
You're actually with Lynn Swan. He's now jealous that you're on the Pharrell on the Bench podcast. I just saw him give you a demon look.
Oh, of course. He's always jealous, that Lynn Swan over there. You never know what that kid's going to say. You never know what look he's going to give you.
Do you ever catch him daydreaming like I do? Sometimes I'll yell at him, and he's completely lost in Never Never Land.
Yes, that happens on a daily basis multiple times, and it's definitely a lot to deal with, but he'll just be over there thinking about his Knicks winning a game, but that never happens.
Actually, he's dreaming about hot chicks, and he's not dreaming of a Knicks win because the Knicks never win.
Yeah, that's very true.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-230-8145. 800-230-8145. 800-230-8145. Again, that's 800-230-8145.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you watch your bets and you have more than a dollar on the game, when it's a $5 or $10 bet, I notice that you're swearing a lot more and screaming at the television monitor. I also wanted to mention that we have the crappiest television viewing situation ever. I should never be exposed to one television. When I did my show at CBS, they, the cheapest people on earth, they even had two televisions. Out in the newsroom, they had 15 televisions. When I was at Howard Stern, I had six televisions. Five of them on sports, one of them on hardcore porn. I want you to know that having one TV in my set to watch during games at night sucks. And it's awful, and I hate everyone for it.
I completely understand, and I wish there was something I could do about that, but I do have an idea, because we have these other TVs that we use as monitors just to show your logo for the show. But the one thing that I could say is we could use this casting feature from a phone or from a laptop, and sometimes it does work, sometimes it doesn't work. But I could definitely try it out for you. The only thing is, you'll have to look to the side. It won't be straight ahead. But maybe within the next couple of months, we can get you another TV, because it'd be nice to watch more than one game. I completely agree with you.
Hey, get Mafia over here. This is unbelievable. Mafia, come over here. We're live doing the show. I need to ask you a question. It's very important. So, first of all, Mafia gets very angry when I move the microphone to interview other people. That's why I use two microphones now wherever I go. But I forgot my other microphone today, so I'm going to get five lashes on my wrists like the nuns back in Catholic boys' school. Mafia, the question I have for you is, you're very sophisticated. You have three or four televisions going at once during the broadcast, unlike us peasants who have only one to view. How do you do it?
You know, you got to get on the technology bandwagon. You got to get it every which way you can, whether it's the phone, the tablet, the computer. There's always different ways to stream and get the action that you need.
How come you don't set me up with that? Why are you such a pig and a fascist that hogs up all of the good viewing and leaves me to watch terrible games? Because Rigatoni refuses to turn the channel off of a crappy game that he's betting a dollar on.
Because I know you're technologically inept, and that the second I put something on your screen, you're going to hit some other button and screw it up and then yell at me in the middle of the show to fix it.
I have a game I want to play. It's called Sign Stealing Scandal. Now, I want you to say Sign Stealing Scandal as fast as you can for 10 seconds. Ready? Go!
Sign Stealing Scandal, 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 Sign Stealing Scandal.
That was impressive. All right, now, Rigatoni, you do it. And Lynn Swan will be entered into the show. He will count down your 10 seconds of Sign Stealing Scandal. Ready? Begin.
Sign Stealing Scandal, Sign Stealing Scandal, Sign Stealing Scandal, Sign Stealing Scandals. Sign Stealing Scandal, 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 Sign Stealing Scandal.
That was awful. Now I want you to do Sammy Kell Seashell down by the seashore on Saturday afternoons is sensational every time we do it together.
Sammy Shores down by the seashore, everything's sensational when we do it together.
Sand ceiling sandals on a sign ceiling sandal on a seashore Saturday when we go to eat seashores down by the seashore with the seashells and all the girls and the simpletons.
All right, you got me on that one. I don't think I could top you on that. You have me beat.
So let me ask Lynn Swan now a question. Lynn Swan, how is it that you daydream and drift off into another world while we're working, and I have to scream and yell your name? What kind of hot smoke show chick are you thinking of in the middle of the show?
I'm really not thinking that much at that point. Just kind of there. Sometimes I do that. I've done that for a long time, so I can't really say much about it. It just happens.
So, do you love listening to Pharrell on Coast to Coast and In-Game Live, or are you so bored that you have to eat Tostitos scoops and daydream about hotties? Come and answer the question before I punch you in the face.
I'm always eating. I'm never bored of your shows.
You're always eating Tostitos.
I am. I'm always eating anything, honestly.
I have better food than you. I have Triscuits filled with prosciutto and Sanoa ham from Spain. Meanwhile, you're eating greasy Tostitos that give you Rhea.
That's impressive. I want that. Can you get that for me? I really want that. That sounds really good.
I'm going to let you try one today. What about you, Rigatoni? Are you going to try a Sanoa ham Triscuit sandwich?
Possibly, but I'm not too sure. When it comes to food, I'm very finicky, so I'm not going to make any promises. But I do thank you for the offer. What I will say is the popcorners you get are one of the best out there. White cheddar popcorners, the blue bag, those ones are delicious.
They are delicious. Have you ever noticed how much I eat when I have my one-hour break? I'll eat a salad. I'll eat a turkey or honey ham sandwich. I also have shrimp. Have you ever seen me eat the shrimp cocktails that I bring to work or the crab cocktails?
Oh, yes. I've seen it all. I don't know about the crab cocktails, but I've definitely seen the shrimp cocktails. When I see you eating during your hour break, to me it looks like you've packed food for not only you, but your two kids as well.
So do you feel that with the amount of liquids that I drink, coffees, seltzers, Perriers, waters, the amount of beverages that I drink, and now I drink on set. I refuse to wait. When I have cotton mouth, I refuse to wait till I'm off camera. I now drink on set, on camera. Do you feel that when I drank booze, rum, tequila, scotch, Jameson, and beer, that I drank a lot of it? Because you see me drinking a lot of other liquids. Can you picture me when I drank booze?
I can only imagine what that sight would be like, but the amount of seltzers you go through, the amount of coffees you go through, and when you have three or four drinks at the same time, you're drinking them all, I don't know how you do it, but in regards to booze, I could just picture the amount that you could drink and still not be affected by it at all.
When I was in Vegas and you heard the story of me seeing the naked girl running down the street at breakfast, were you turned on?
I wouldn't say I was turned on, but it definitely did catch my attention. You talking about naked girls on your podcasts and on the show, you know, that's something people are going to listen to, me included.
Do you believe that we will have naked girls running here in the sports book eventually because Pharrell is so popular?
Well, Pharrell is very popular, and that's a fact, but the things that have gone on in this sports book are crazy, to say the least. So with you being here and with the sports book being the place that it is, I could see that happening tomorrow.
So why haven't you asked for my picks every day? After the one day you took my picks, I'm sure you did better making money. Why haven't you asked for my picks instead of your crappy $1 bets?
Well, in all honesty, it wasn't one day. I did ask Mafia twice to send it to me, and I took a picture with you when you had him here. But I don't want to bother Mafia. I know he's got a lot on his hands. He works on your podcast. He works on these shows. He's over here now, but he was over in Studio 34 in New York City before. I don't want to bother him. I know he's got a lot on his hands. He's a busy guy. But believe me, if I could get your picks every day, I would love to. I'm sure I would make a lot more money with your picks than my picks. But maybe I'm trying to change that and things will change in the future. But you never know.
Are you going to start your idea of having a press release out by the wall there that people can go and see maybe my play of the day or a few of my picks of the day to get people driven toward PharrellOnTheBench.com. A great idea on your part, Rigatoni. By the way, Lynn Swan has come up with no great ideas yet.
That's true. No great ideas at all.
But that doesn't mean we don't love him.
Correct. Maybe he'll come up with one soon. You really never know.
Some days, even though you're loved, you may not be able to come up with a great idea. You could be loved your whole life and never have great ideas. And then some days you could have fantastic ideas. It depends. Maybe you were driving somewhere, going on a long drive, and you smoked a fatty, and suddenly you had a great idea. And then everyone in the car got excited and pulled over and got Arby's roast beef sandwiches. That could be a great idea in itself. But I thought it was an impressive tip that Lynn Swan gave me when he told me that he saw mice running on the wall. It was important that Pharrell knew that there were mice nearby, because I do not like mice, and I do not like snakes. I do not want to see snakes in the building or mice ever. So Lynn Swan did give me the tip of the day. Sometimes the tip of the day could be better than the good idea of the day. Sometimes if you have no ideas, it doesn't matter because you could come up with the tip of the day.
It's very true. It's very true. I might have to follow that up sometime later this week, but I am going to talk to the boss upstairs, and hopefully sometime later this week, if not early next week, we will have those sheets out for people to pick up to promote your website and give out your plays of the day in order for them to make some money.
And you put my Pharrell on a Bench TV monitor up all the time, which is impressive, and you even get yelled at all the time. It must be fun to constantly be yelled at. There's nothing quite like having someone yell at you all day, particularly if they're your boss or your cousin or your uncle or your dad or your mom or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your dog. Sometimes your dog can bite you. My dog will bite your face. Did you see my financial advisor walking around today trying to take pictures of me and turn me into the feds?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to turn you into the feds, that's for sure, but he's not the only one who has to take pictures of you. We always have fans, coworkers, your financial advisors come through.
If I catch him stealing my money, I'm going to kill him.
Oh, I'm with you there. I'll help you out however you need it.
All right, Rigatoni, Lynn Swan, doing a fantastic job today on the Pharrell on the Bench podcast. Very popular people.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
So I saw a study found that drivers of flashy vehicles are less likely to stop and allow pedestrians to cross the road. The likelihood they'll slow down decreasing by 3% for every extra $1,000 that their vehicle is worth. So at UNLV in Vegas, the college, they speculated that expensive car owners felt a sense of superiority over other road users and were less able to empathize with lowly sidewalk dwellers. What is a lowly sidewalk dweller? I mean, just like, people walking on the street are suddenly sidewalk dwellers, and what are they, lower than everybody else because they're not in a car? Are people not allowed to walk on the street or on the sidewalk? What about people in big cities like New York City where everyone's walking on the street? I don't understand this at all. I'll say this much for Las Vegas. Whenever I walk in Las Vegas, it's usually 110 degrees and you want to die. In the summer, anywhere past May, so like June, July, August, September, hell, even October, it's a buck 10. You will melt. You will die. If you don't have water, you are doomed. You might as well get bit by a rattlesnake because walking in the desert is automatic death. You will die of thirst. You will die of sunburn. You will have no hope in the world. UNLV came to the conclusion after asking volunteers to cross the sidewalk hundreds of times, filming them, and seeing the responses by car drivers. The researchers used one white and one black man and one white and one black woman, also finding that cars were more likely to yield for white and female participants. Vehicles stopped 31% of the time for both women and whites, compared with 24% of the time for men and 25% of the time for blacks. So now it's a racial thing. I don't understand. So now all of a sudden, if you're white and you're a woman, people will stop for you on the road. But if you are a black man or a black woman, apparently you have no hope in the world. It is unbelievable. The best predictor of whether a car would stop was its cost, according to the scientists. Quote, disengagement and a lower ability to interpret thoughts and feelings of others, along with feelings of entitlement and narcissism may lead to a lack of empathy for pedestrians. Among costly car owners, the discovery of a car value to jerkish behavior correlation is not new. The research published in a Journal of Transportation and Health backed up a Finnish study last month that found that men who own flashy vehicles are more likely to be argumentative, stubborn, disagreeable, and unempathetic. So, men who have fancy cars are argumentative, they're stubborn, they're disagreeable, and unempathetic. They have no feelings. They don't care what you think. They will argue with you. When is the last time you saw, which is every day, someone that's driving that busts a move, a power move, or a move to cut someone off, or the other person doesn't give them a dirty look or the finger? Everyone always gives the other person the finger and blames the other person. Then they scream and yell at each other. I know that I do it because everyone is in my way. Everyone driving believes that the road is theirs and every move is theirs, that they're entitled to the move, and the other drivers are simply not entitled to the same moves. I get mad when people are in the left lane and they're going slow. If you're going slow in the left lane, move the Pharrell over. Get out of the Pharrell and way. Why are you in the left lane when you're driving slow? It's because you're stubborn and you're an idiot and you're a you-know-what-hole. You know exactly what you are. You are disagreeable and you are a horrible person and you deserve to be punished with my fist in your face. Although I will say road rage is not a good thing. We don't want to see people eventually inviting others to pull over, whereby when they pull over both cars, have the participants get out of their cars, go to their trunks, and pull out jacks and baseball bats, or worse, guns. What could be worse than being shot dead because you're in a car argument, a road rage argument? Where someone pulls out a gun and shoots you dead, and you're left on the side of the road dead, that they eventually are picked up and they go to prison for the rest of their life. Is there anything worse than going to prison for the rest of your life? When you get into a car fight, a car argument, a road rage argument, you will be the loser. You will spend the rest of your life in prison, where in prison you will become a female. The bottom line is, if you go in as Chuck, you will leave as Cindy. If you ever get out, you will still be Cindy, because what they do to you in prison will be that of having broom handles in your garage door. You will be made a girlfriend. Think of it. You will become the girlfriend and the bee of everyone in prison because you got in a car fight. Because you were such a badass, you wouldn't get out of the way and you wouldn't lose an argument over a road situation, a road lane change, a stop, a start, driving too fast, driving too slow, running a light, being in a hurry. You're in my way. Get out of my way or I will kill you. And then how about people that get in fights even with their children in the car? Is there anything worse than the parent, the mom, the dad that gets in the fight anyway and drives recklessly even though they have little kids in the car? They're willing to risk their children's lives over a car argument. According to a survey of over 1,800 drivers by the University of Helsinki, those deemed to have more disagreeable character traits were more drawn to high-status cars. It also found that conscientious people often favor higher-priced vehicles, too. If you're stuck in traffic and you're in your brand-new BMW, you are in that category. According to a professor in Helsinki, he said he noticed the ones that were most likely to run a red light, not give way to pedestrians, and generally drive recklessly and too fast were often the ones driving fast German cars. Now we're blaming the Germans for people that get run over as pedestrians on the street trying to walk on the sidewalk or cross the street because German cars evidently are the ones that run people over more often than other cars. The school in Helsinki said that self-centered men who are argumentative, stubborn, and disagreeable, and unempathetic are much more likely to own a high-status car, such as an Audi, a Beamer, or a Mercedes. Imagine that. They said that personalities like this explain the desire to own a high-status product, and the same traits also explain why such people break traffic laws more frequently than others. They found that drivers behind the wheel of costly, expensive cars are more likely to flout traffic regulations and drive recklessly. Then to top it off, they said that people with this type of personality are, as a rule, respectable, ambitious, reliable, and well-organized. They take care of themselves and their health and often perform well at work. I'm a jerk, and I have been a jerk driving. I also am respectable, nice, ambitious, reliable, well-organized, and do well at work. I do well on TV. I do well on radio. But my wife thinks I drive like a D. That would be a male organ. And she drives like a D. She drives faster than me, but she blames me for my driving habits. And when I drive with her, she blames me for being nervous in the car because I think she's going to wreck the car. And then she thinks I'm a jerk either way. It happens every time we drive. And she drives crazy, like a NASCAR driver. She drives fast, and she drives a big rig, like a big truck, a big expensive truck. So it's not only men that are nuts and crazy and mean and evil when they drive and run people over. It's women, too. Women think men are horrible drivers. Men think women are horrible drivers. They hate each other, which is common. But I do not drive an expensive, fancy car. I probably should. Maybe then I'd be a better person. I drive a normal car, but I take care of my car. I've had the car for 10 years. I constantly change the oil. I put synthetic oil in it so it'll last longer. I only have 155,000 miles on my car, but my car pounds it into the city. I drive into New York City every day for the last 10 years in this car. It's covered with scratches and rocks and dents. I've had every problem in the world. Broken axles, broken wheels, smashed brakes that don't work anymore because you're constantly hitting potholes, slamming your brakes, sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic. The cars fall apart. Why would I want to drive an expensive car to New York City when you know it's going to be destroyed anyway? So my wife drives the fancy car. And then she says that I'm still an idiot. I drive like an idiot. I am an idiot. And she thinks I have road rage. Meanwhile, she drives fast and is cool and has everything under control. Never takes the blame for any driving miscalculations. Anyone in her way will be severely punished. 34C owns the roads. Chicks also talk their way out of tickets. When they get pulled over, they constantly flash all kinds of opportunities toward the popo. They talk their way out of it with sweet talk. They give them the eye. They give them the look. They give them the lead. They give them a tip. They give them whatever it takes to get out of trouble. And then they feel bad. They might start crying and lure the cop into a sense of insecurity and feelings. If feelings are involved, they may get away with it. When a guy gets pulled over, he automatically gets a ticket unless he has a Po-Po family badge, which Pharrell has, because I know high heat. And when you have a cop friend that is family, you can get out of anything basically unless you run someone over on the street and kill them. Other than that, you can get away with murder. Bottom line is, you do not want to drink and drive, and you do not want to listen to your wife when she drives because she will yell at you. I do not believe that any race is different driving a car. I believe that men are jerks when they drive a car, and women drive fast and blame men for everything. The moral of the story is, do not drive with your wife, or you will regret it forever. See you again on Pharrell on a Bench. Check out. And look out on the streets.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.